Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part one of a new series entitled Rising Strong, with today's message specifically entitled Rising from Skepticism, based off of John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28. So let us dive into the Word today. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here, and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. Amen. The journey from unbelief to belief requires a grace-filled encounter with the living Christ. And as a young adult emerging from school into the workplace, I had a ton of doubt that I would ever be able to succeed. I was fearful that despite my training from Chubb Institute, I would not really be any good at computer programming. I was fearful of starting a job in the real world. There was doubt there, for real. Have any of you ever felt that way when you started something out? What made me eventually overcome that doubt is the fact that the more I worked as a software engineer, the more I grew in my confidence that I could succeed. I started traveling to conventions and representing the company. It was a time of building up my own identity as an adult who could contribute to society. When I did lose that job a year later, it was not because I didn't know what I was doing or was incompetent, but because the company went belly up. Of course, that did bring me into an entirely new season of doubt, truth be told. Doubt is a constant in life. As human beings, we all experience doubt. I want to invite you to think about your doubt. What doubt exists in your life, in any aspect of your life? It could be doubt in God, but it could be doubt in others, in circumstances, and even in our own selves. Think about your doubt. What doubt you have, and its impact on your life. How have these experiences shaped your journey of faith? Thomas was not with the disciples when the resurrected Jesus appeared among them for the first time in John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. The disciples obviously told Thomas what happened, but he wouldn't believe what he was told. He had to experience it for himself, as he says in verse 25. Before we move forward, though, let's have a closer look at Thomas as a person, as a disciple. In John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16, Jesus learns that his friend Lazarus has died and has told his disciples that he wants to head to Judea. The problem is that the religious leaders are out there looking on the lookout for him and want to arrest and kill him. So the disciples protest. In verse 8, they object, "Rabbi, only a few days ago people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going to go there again?" After learning that Lazarus was dead and not asleep, as Jesus first referred to him, Thomas said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." Also in John 14, Jesus tells his disciples in John 14, verse 8, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. trust in God. Trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this was not were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come to and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So, in one sense, we can see that in those passages that Thomas is a person of faith. I mean, he's with Jesus. He's been with Jesus the whole time, and he has faith, and he's willing to die for Jesus even. But in that statement, you can see his doubt. He has doubts. I mean, they're trying to tell him not to go to Jerusalem because he's possibly going to get stoned. They were trying to stone him there the last time, and Thomas is among them. Like, let's not go. Let's not do it. But when Thomas finally hears why from Jesus, the actual reason, he's willing to go there, though he thinks they're going to die. He thinks that. Thomas fails to understand Jesus' true mission, just like, mind you, the rest of the disciples. And in John 14, we see him actively questioning Jesus, saying that they have no clue what he is talking about, and makes Jesus actually spell things out for him. And Jesus does. I am God. You have seen the Father because you have seen me. We see that Thomas wants to get it. Thomas wants to get it. He does, but he needs to understand it, to experience it before he feels he can get it. Let's say that is a condition that can be both a strength and a little bit of a hang-up for him, depending. So back to our passage today. A week later, Jesus appears again. And notice Thomas's doubt is not met with condemnation or judgment. Jesus is not threatened or agitated. In fact, he understands Thomas. Jesus gives Thomas exactly what he wants, what he asks for. Jesus is gracious with Thomas. Jesus honors Thomas's doubt. Jesus responds with time and space, kindness and compassion. In verse 29, beyond the suggested scripture reading, Jesus says to Thomas, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." This verse often leads people to see Thomas's doubt as a sin, and that, quote, believing without seeing, end quote, as the ideal, preferred way to come to faith. Whether or not this is true, and Jesus, who may not have been saying that, we may be reading that into what he's saying, but whether or not this is true, Jesus's response to Thomas's skepticism transforms him and raises him to a place of trusting belief. We've all been told a lot of things about doubt in our lives. What are some of the things you have learned along the way? Perhaps in faith, there's no room for doubt. Or perhaps you've learned that your doubt means you don't have faith. But clearly, we see Thomas had doubt and had faith. Or perhaps that you've been told that doubt shows weakness, or that you are not faithful enough if you have doubt, or that doubt is really a disbelief in God that will wind you up in hell. We've learned a lot of these things, many of us. So how has believing this about yourself, if you have, limited you from participation in the community? And or affected your ability to be honest about your struggles or your willingness to put yourselves out there? If we think we're going to be judged for doubting, we may act like we have no doubts, even though we do. And then that limits us in our own growth. It also limits us in our being able to relate to other people and have a true, honest relationship with them. Skepticism and doubt can be limiting if we remain stuck in it and ashamed of it. But for Thomas, who wasn't stuck in it and wasn't ashamed of it and let his doubts be known, the redemption from skepticism came in putting it out in the open, asking for what he needed, and allowing the encounter with Jesus to transform him. Maybe Thomas is a good model for us who experience doubt. Maybe Thomas is the hope we've been looking for. His encounter with Jesus and his doubt allows him to believe and propels him to carry out Jesus' mission in India for years to come, where he was martyred. I've actually been to St. Thomas's tomb in Chennai. Although scripture does not give us much more detail about Thomas's story, we do know that he continued to be among the disciples when the risen Jesus fed them breakfast by the sea in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 4, and in the upper room praying after Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Not only did Thomas come to believe, but he continued to be one of the 12 apostles of Jesus and a full member and leader of the early church community. Sources outside of the Bible indicate that Thomas did travel to India, preaching the gospel and starting the church there before dying for his faith. Let me briefly read two paragraphs to you written by Timothy Tennant of seedbed.com, and I quote, "Although there are important traditions surrounding the ministries of all the apostles, we will focus this highlight on the St. Thomas mission to India, which is one of the oldest and strongest traditions in church history. The earliest record of the mission of Thomas to India is found in an early manuscript known as the Acts of Thomas, which dates around the turn of the 3rd century. This manuscript records a dramatic moment where the 11 apostles gathered in Jerusalem and divided the known world into various regions. They then cast lots to determine where each of them would go. India fell to Thomas. According to the account, Thomas objected, saying that because of his weakness of the flesh, he could not travel. However, Christ appeared to him in a vision and promised to be with him. Thomas eventually traveled by ship to India along one of the well-established trade routes to India, arriving in AD 52. He preached the gospel in various locations in India and finally suffered martyrdom in India and was buried near modern-day Chennai. Although the Acts of Thomas has problems, many historians accept the basic historical nucleus of the account. The Western tradition has a number of corroborating references, and there is also archaeological evidence from India, as well as independent Indian tradition that chronicles precise numbers of people healed from various diseases and maladies and detailed accounts of those who were converted, including what caste they were from. These sources also give a rich description of the circumstances around the martyrdom of Thomas. Thomas certainly rose strong. If God could work so powerfully through this once doubting disciple, imagine how God can raise us strong from our places of doubt, skepticism, and other struggles of faith. God is not done with us yet. I want to invite you all to consider the following. In a season of doubt, what do you need from God? How do you ask for what you need? And do you believe God will respond? I want you to consider this. If we are in a season of doubt, can God still use us? We are in a season of doubt here about our church at my church anyway, and a lot of churches are, about its future and God's work among us. Our finances are down, our attendance is down, and we're wondering how God will get us through this. And hopefully wondering how God can use you to get us through this, if you're a member of our church. And certainly other churches, many churches are experiencing the same thing and wondering the same things. How can we ask for God's reassurance or act faithfully in spite of our doubts? How can we volunteer, step up, and lead in areas that are suited to our strength? We can do that, by the way. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of how. We can volunteer, step up, and lead in the areas that are suited to our strength. We can increase our giving. The sky's the limit once you decide to be open with God and step out in faith, just like Thomas did. We too can rise strong. Also, how can we embody the risen Christ for others in their doubt? When people encounter you, do they come to believe? Especially in seasons of loss, grief, and great change, doubt and skepticism can overwhelm. How might we help others rise up from doubt to belief? How can you be the grace-filled response for others that Jesus was for Thomas? Together, let us open our hearts to Jesus, put our belief in him, rise up strong in faith and in service. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you for this message of hope and inspiration, knowing that our doubts are not the end of us, that doubt, in fact, exists because we have faith, and faith helps us rise strong out of our doubts. But Lord, let this also challenge us to open ourselves to you, to put our trust in you, and to truly believe in your promises. We thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, friends, thank you for tuning in. It's always a joy to have you listen in, and I hope that you are getting exactly what you need out of these messages and getting something out of them. I know that I do every time I write and speak them. And so again, thank you for tuning in. I just also want to remind you about the episode notes. Down there are some links that'll take you to our giving page. If you can give and this is like your main spiritual sustenance, we would appreciate it. It would be helpful. If you join another church or you're part of another church or faith community, give to them. And of course, if you can give to both of us, we would love it. But remember this, friends, you are richly blessed, so you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace.